Well, we're having a very artistic week on WNYC this week because we've had the pleasure of talking with women artists and sculptors on each program during the 4th Annual American Art Festival. The well-known painter Clara Klinghoffer is here with us today to tell us about her special views on the very exciting subject of art and painting. And this is one of those times when I certainly wish we could extend the medium of radio into the visual right away, because I have had an opportunity to see wonderful photographic reproductions of Clara Klinghoffer's paintings here, and I wish that all of our listeners could have the same privilege. However, they have only to avail themselves of the opportunity to see Clara Klinghoffer's paintings whenever they're on exhibit and in the various places throughout the world where they may be seen. They are on exhibition at many, many galleries, especially in London, where Clara Klinghoffer painted early in her career, at the Tate Gallery and at the British Museum. I think perhaps to start off our discussion with Miss Klinghoffer, we should say that we've been talking about modern art this week to a very great degree, abstract art, non-objective painting, realism, all of these mysterious aspects of painting. And one has to look at the work of Clara Klinghoffer only and realize that she is painting in the unmistakable style of the painter who has absorbed, we might say, centuries of classicism, and yet has tempered it with what the modern artist has at his command today. I don't know how, technically, Miss Klinghoffer, one manages to bridge that gap. I suppose that your own personality expression tells you, in a way, what to do.
Well, yes, I think so. After all, I am a contemporary, but I have my roots in the past, and I think all art should really have its roots in the past. You can't just break off and suddenly start painting without that background.
Yes, I know that there are many opinions varied on the subject of how to approach painting, but it's so rare for anyone to see painting that reflects so much of the great art of the past in it, which I feel is so very important, because the paintings that have lived in the hearts of people for such a long time have been from that school of painting where there was great attention to techniques, drawing, I assume, knowledge of anatomy.
Yes. The basic study of painting has been, of course, a complete understanding of drawing and form. And unfortunately today, I think it's been rather shamefully neglected. And artists today feel that it really doesn't matter, it's not important. I don't think that at all. I think it's terribly important.
Well, I think what I wish everyone could realize by looking at paintings such as yours, that it's possible to have all of the beauty of the past and yet the feeling of the future and today, because your subjects, while they're painted with great command and tremendous technique, and good heavens, let us be quite honest and say, in the words of Jacob Epstein, which I have right here before me, he says, "I consider Clara Klinghoffer an artist of great talent, a painter of the first order." He says, beyond that, her understanding of form places her in the very first rank of draftsmen in the world. Well, seeing that quality in the paintings and then realizing that Clara Klinghoffer has not been afraid to exaggerate or make something look quite unreal in a painting, you're not afraid to do that at all.
No, I think that all fine painting, I mean, has an element of abstraction in it. The trouble is that most people are confused between academic painting and what I would call perhaps the true realism, which we find in paintings in the Renaissance period and so on through the centuries. Of course, today, unfortunately, non-objective painting has rather done its best to oust us, people who really feel the classic sense of form, and they have taken over the field. With the result, I think that the layman is very confused. He goes to the Metropolitan, we'll say, and loves the paintings, comes out, goes to 57th Street, sees non-objective painting, and really doesn't know what to make of the whole thing. He would like to have this explained to him, and of course, whereas some of the modern work is definitely valid, myself, I think that the moment that you go beyond abstracting from what you know and understand, when it becomes unrecognizable in terms of humanity, then I think that is where I feel the trouble begins, and that is the result of all the confusion today in modern art.
I think you've said that very well. Perhaps only time will tell where modern art is going, in the sense. Perhaps as has been the case in the past, sometimes when a new art form is emerging, it takes a long time before it resolves itself to the point where it's recognizable and you can accept it as a valid expression. And I venture to say that so much that does happen under the heading of modern art is invalid. I don't think we should be afraid to say that, because it can be approached in a very offhand manner. But this is quite different from the modern painter who it does what you've just described, abstracts from something that he does recognize to begin.
Yes, because we don't live in a world of abstractions. I mean, we live in a world of human beings and flesh and blood and beauty that we recognize, and we have a sort of, I think we all more or less agree that we have, how can one say it? Of course, we see things differently, but we do know when we see a face, it has two eyes that are placed in a certain position on the face and a nose, and when I feel that, unless it has definitely a symbolic value, when these things are distorted, if they're distorted for the sake of this distortion, then they have absolutely no meaning. At least the meaning is not there. I mean, it has to be explained very often by long dissertations and, you know.
Yes, well, of course, that's the very quality that so many people object to, and I know you're not alone in what you've just expressed.
I think you ought to be able to feel the moment you look at a painting that it has something, said something to you. It's all very well. The trouble with modern painting, I feel, it's become so terribly intellectualized that unless you really get into the habit of hidden meanings, you're
exactly
not going to understand
mean.
It. I mean, it loses the very quality which I think the artist starts from the very first to give, the spontaneity, the intuition he has felt himself, the things he's seen. Of course, I feel that art, all art, is really trying to arrest something beautiful, a feeling, something you have seen. It's gone the very moment you've seen it, it has gone. And I think the artist that is sensitive and feels almost the sadness of it, because it is, in a sense, something that is, it will be gone unless you put it down. And there, that is the thing that makes art. Artists want to paint pictures, write a poem.
Any creative expression.
Any creative expression. But it still has to be, you don't do it for yourself. You're not going to put it in closets. You want to almost like turning around and saying to somebody, look how beautiful it is. Don't we all of us sometimes, when walking in the country perhaps, or when we see somebody whose face we like, you turn around and you say, isn't that beautiful? Isn't that wonderful? How sweetly she smiles, and what a lovely tree that is, and how wonderful the sunshine plays on that landscape. These are the things I think the artist wants to convey, but then I think the people that look at the paintings want to get something of that very feeling. Unless they get that, well, I don't know what they're getting.
Yes.
I really don't know what they're getting.
I feel very strongly about it. I think that it's unavoidable in a culture which is going through what sometimes feels to be like rigor mortis.
Yes, yes.
That you're bound to have all kinds of expression. It reflects the uneasiness of the times, I think. And that doesn't mean, of course, that one shouldn't look for new directions in which to move and find new ways of saying something, because, well, just as a choreographer in the field of dance, if he used the same gesture each time to portray a certain feeling or emotion, one would tire of it. Yet, on the other hand, when you're unsure, then the chances are you're liable to use a lot of gestures that have no meaning.
Have no meaning. And
sort of a camouflage,
yes,
you know.
Yes, I think so, too.
That does happen.
Oh, I think you can develop and see things in a contemporary sense, but I think there are certain basic values that have remained all through the ages. And after all, we read Shakespeare today with the same avidity and love. I'm sure that it was read when he wrote the things. It isn't the costumes that makes Shakespeare what he is. And why can we listen to Bach today? He lived in the 16th century, wasn't it? And today the music is valid and it is beautiful. It gives us all the great truths of life and humanity and immortality. I don't know that it's really, of course it's very difficult to pin it down in words, but if we can love these things today, they're still valid today.
Well, I think that in a sense it's understandable why people tend to sometimes discount proven values of the past, whether they be in painting or music or poetry or whatever, because of present-day disillusionment. Sometimes, now, I know that sounds rather paradoxical. Mm-hmm. You would think if you were dissatisfied with the present that you would turn to some of the beautiful things of the past for solace and consolation. But I think in some cases, perhaps it doesn't happen. People become impatient with everything as they know it about them because it's related to the unhappiness of the times, and they almost strike out madly for something that is completely unlike anything they've ever known before. And that's, I think, is one reason why some of our poetry is so obscure.
Well, I think that's a very interesting theory. It's probably very very well founded. That it's awfully interesting what you say. And then on the other hand, they do also go back when they want to have relief and calm and a feeling of equilibrium. And
fortunately, some do go back.
Back, and they feel, this is good. I mean, I have found that in modern music. I have not closed my ears to it at all. I have gone time and again to listen. It hasn't said anything to me at all. But very often in a program, you'll get modern, and then finally you'll get perhaps something by Mozart or Beethoven or a Bach, and it is almost as if a weight has been lifted, if your mind has been cleared, and you just sink into such a wonderful feeling of peace and rest and harmony. That is it, the great wonderful harmony in those artists, where you feel that everything they've done has been with the eye upon the essentials. What is truth? And of course it's awfully hard to bring into words. I'm not really a talker. I'm a painter, and I try my very best in painting to say what I feel. But I know what I feel when I get this very same feeling in modern literature, rather poetry more than anything else, and music and modern art. I go, I look, and I am not moved at all. Then I go back to the classics.
I think it's so important to be honest about it, you know, because I think that the great masses of people in general now are becoming aware of art, particularly painting and sculpture, as an expression, who weren't aware of it before. It's for many, many reasons, you know. Sometimes it stems from something as simple as the fact that even through the realm of decorating, we've learned that you can get a more beautiful effect in your home or apartment by including works of art from one place or another. And in a kind of mad scramble to take that in to thinking, a lot of people have been, we might say, buying without a knowledge of selection, without discrimination. So many mythical authorities exist in the world that the mere fact, well, to put it in very everyday terms, there are lots of people who believe everything they read in the papers, for instance.
Yes, exactly.
You know,
yes. They haven't the courage of their own opinions. They don't dare. They're afraid of being thought peculiar, different, and therefore they haven't even the courage to say they like certain things because they feel it's outmoded, it's not the thing it's supposed to be liked.
Well, that's what I meant by honesty.
You see,
I think
there's
you
no
need
basic,
to be.
It's a great pity. On the other hand, you get people, I had a very interesting thing happen to me, this was in Holland at the time when we lived there, and I'd shown one of my maid that I had then, I showed her a book of reproductions, and the one she picked out was, and she knew nothing whatsoever about painting, but nothing, but she picked out the very finest painting in the book.
Just intuitively.
And she loved it, yes. Purely intuitively, and she had nothing, I mean, she didn't care whether she was intellectual, she knew nothing about it. But she was honest, basically honest.
That's
a
wonderful example. I've made you philosophize so about art that my listeners are going to hate me for not asking you anything about yourself as a person,
please.
And as a painter. Well, I haven't told the listeners that Clara Klinghoffer was what can certainly be described as an infant prodigy. You were painting.
I think at the age of 12 or even earlier, if that's possible,
that. And you had your first real successful one-man show at the age of 19 in London, didn't you?
Yes, this was about 60 works. Which
60?
Is quite
you had
60. And I had many more in the studio. I had been working very, very much.
Do you still work that copiously, so to speak?
Well, I don't know. I think I work more intensively. I think when one is terribly young like that, you know.
It sounds like a fire then. You were really burning up.
Burning up, yes.
Creative energy.
Yes, and I think one sort of slows down and begins to think more. And I think what you lose, perhaps in output, you gain in intensity and deeper feeling. And it becomes, I think, I hope, more profound.
Do you find that you pretty much recognize something that you want to portray when you see it? Do you get that kind of an instinctive reaction to things that you
think,
see?
You know, I was asked that recently about portrait painting. I do feel people very instinctively and very quickly. I don't have to know them beforehand. But I suppose it's like, there's nothing to be proud of. It's just something that I have. And that I do feel the quality of people very suddenly, very quickly, even right away when they put
well,
it for me.
Well, shouldn't the painter really?
I think it's purely intuitive because I really don't understand what it is. I mean, it's nothing I can pin down and say why I understand certain things. But I feel the personality very, very strongly indeed. And I'm able to, I think I'm able to convey it. I've been told that very often, that I get that quality of getting behind the mask.
Well, that and something else that occurred to me while looking at your photographs here is the fact that beyond getting the quality of the personality, you go to another dimension, which is a little bit difficult to describe, but I think that a great painting must always have that, because I feel that in each personality, there is a dimension that you don't see when you simply are aware of the physical aspect of the person. It's some quality that's very special, perhaps almost a little bit little mystical, and sometimes, perhaps subconsciously or however, the painter brings that in.
Oh, entirely, because it is absolutely, you can't explain it. There's no way of explaining it. It is there. I have often been asked what it is. Why is my work that particular style, or why I work sensitively? I say, I don't know. I have not the slightest idea, except that I feel that way. It is, in a sense, ambiguous and strange and mystical, I think. I don't believe the artist can really explain it. You can't explain things like that.
Yes, and of course, not all painters have it. It's one thing to render a very faithful reproduction of what a face looks like, and another thing to have it suggest to you so many things.
Well, that's awfully nice to hear that. I'm always very interested to know what people think, what I have said, whether it has really penetrated, or whether another person reacts to it in the way I feel I'd like him to react.
Yes,
and
well,
it's always very, very gratifying and wonderful. It's almost like being understood as a human being.
Well, you know, we were talking with Bernice Abbott, the photographer, a few days ago on the program, and she said something like this, that if you can learn to use your medium in that sense, with her it's photography, with you it's painting, it's your communication with people, really. She said that the lens of the camera was really the inner eye
of the photographer. Yes.
And in a sense, with the painter, it's the same thing. The thing that happens on the canvas may look like someone else, but it's actually you.
Oh, absolutely. It is you. It is you. It's seen through you. It's not a question of looking at seeing. It's almost a sort of, if one can use a term like clairvoyance, which really doesn't apply, but in a sense, it has something to do with it. The ability to see in the sense of the seer.
And perhaps see something that's not there at the same time.
It is there, because it's there for the artist. It is definitely there, because there's so much in life that is there. I mean, what we know is very finite. What we don't know is infinite, you see. And so that it's vast, the things we don't know. And I think in the realm of thought, all that is possible.
And certainly art should be related to that.
It has its basis in humanity, I feel. But it also has its roots in the, shall we say, the subconscious, the mystical, what we don't understand, what we intuitively feel.
I think that's
very
true.
And can't explain.
I think that's very true.
I think when you get that quality in art, that it makes art, in a sense, valid as art.
Well, now that you've been living here in America for, shall we say, about 15 years, roughly speaking, having come from Europe, the only thing that occurs to me is that sometimes I'll probably be disliked for saying this, but sometimes I feel, especially in the big cities, that Americans are kind of mail order types. We seem to me to look alike and we dress alike. There's a great deal of
mass production feeling.
Do you ever feel limited in your choice of subjects?
No, I don't feel limited. And from that point of view, I think New York is quite a marvelous city. You can sit in a subway train and really be confronted by perhaps a dozen nationalities. There's one unfortunate thing, though, that happens in New York. I don't know whether I don't know how true this is, but I feel it, that they take on a New York look.
That's
a mass production
what I mean.
Look,
yes.
Which is somehow a pity. I don't know where it comes from, you know. You get the feeling. For instance, there are so many beautiful women in New York, but they do have a mass production look. You know? And it's based, of course, on Hollywood stars. If only people would try to be themselves.
Yes.
And it's such a pity. And when you do see that occasionally, it's thrilling. It's really quite wonderful.
Oh, I agree. The thing about your paintings, as I see them here in the reproductions, is the fact that everybody is an individual in all of these. You have the feeling that each person, to their own degree of understanding and expression, did what was honest
as
for
them. Yes, as an entity, in themselves.
Well, that's exactly what I meant about the mass production aspect.
Yes. Well, that's a big city. That usually would happen, I imagine.
Pressure of various
kinds. Yes.
I could go on, and I know that Clara Klinghoffer could, too, for a long time, talking
about... Well, you have set me going. I could really talk for quite a while.
I wish we had a great deal more time, but we seem to have used up our minutes. But I certainly have enjoyed the opportunity of talking with you about your particular approach to painting, because this week, as I've said quite honestly, we have heard every conceivable approach, and it's good to have all aspects of it given to the listener. We certainly hope that in the very near future that our New Yorkers will have an opportunity to see your paintings in either a group exhibition or whatever kind of a special showing would be best fitted for them, because now that we've talked about them, we have whetted the appetites for viewing.
That's very nice.
So we hope in that moment when you're ready for your next exhibition, you will let us know and we'll tell our listeners about it, too.
Certainly will, gladly.
Be happy to do that. And our thanks to you for coming down this morning.
Thank you, Mina.
We've been talking with the American painter Clara Klinghoffer as part of our presentation on For the Ladies during this, the 4th Annual American Art Festival over your city stations.